from line number 7. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. آمنوا بالله ورسوله وأنفقوا مما جعلكم مستخلفين فيه، فالذين آمنوا منكم وأنفقوا لهم أجر كبير. وما لكم لا تؤمنون بالله، والرسول يدعوكم لتؤمنوا بربكم وقد أخذ ميثاقكم إن كنتم مؤمنين. هو الذي ينزل على عبده آيات بينات ليخرجكم من الظلمات إلى النور، وإن الله بكم لرؤوف رحيم. وما لكم ألا تنفقوا في سبيل الله ولله ميراث السماوات والأرض، لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل، أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا، وكلا وعد الله الحسنى، والله بما تعملون خبير. من ذا الذي يقرض الله قرضا حسنا فيضاعفه له وله أجر كريم. يوم ترى المؤمنين والمؤمنات يسعى نورهم بين أيديهم وبأيمانهم، بشراكم اليوم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها، ذلك هو الفوز العظيم. يوم يقول المنافقون والمنافقات للذين آمنوا انظرونا نقتبس من نوركم، قيل ارجعوا وراءكم فالتمسوا نورا، فضرب بينهم بسور له باب، باطنه فيه الرحمة وظاهره من قبله العذاب. ينادونهم ألم نكن معكم، قالوا بلى ولكنكم فتنتم أنفسكم وتربصتم وارتبتم وغرتكم الأماني حتى جاء أمر الله وغركم بالله الغرور. فاليوم لا يؤخذ منكم فدية ولا من الذين كفروا، مأواكم النار، هي مولاكم وبئس المصير. We started Surah Al-Hadid last week and we covered 6 ayat. Today inshallah we're going to be starting from ayah number 7. In the previous 6 ayat, the majority of the ayat were related to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His power and qualities were mentioned which are not mentioned anywhere else in the Quran, like هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن, the fact that he sends down rainwater, he makes the night turn into day, the day into night, and so on and so forth. So many, many different qualities were mentioned about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these first few verses of Surah Al-Hadid. Now following the mentioning of these qualities, the next thing comes, and that is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Basically, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, and then the command is have iman in that same Allah that we've been talking about right now. That same Allah that is mentioned in the above verses, you should have recognized His power, you should have recognized His greatness, you should have recognized who He is, and based upon that you should make a judgment of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and having iman in Him and the Prophet that brings this message to you. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this verse. آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Have iman in Allah and His Prophet. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا جَعَلَكُمْ مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِيهِ. And spend from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you rulers over. So istikhlaf means to rule over something. Khalifa is from the same word. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you possession over something, He gave you the power over something, He gave you the control over something. So spend from it, give back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only put you in charge of it temporarily. Otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He owns everything. Just like the father when he gives his son or daughter some candy and just wanting to test him out, says, can you give me one candy? Just one. Just give me one candy. So just to test his affection and to test his love, the father, he has no need for the candy. He's the one that gave it to the child in the first place. But he says to the child, can you just give me one candy? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking for the thing that He gave us, He's just asking for a portion of it back. Not all of it, a portion of it, some of it back. And He's reminding us that He is the one that gave it to us in the first place. Mimma ja'alakum mustakhlifina fi. He is the one who made you mustakhlifin. He made you in charge of it. So spend from it and give in charity. فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَأَنْفَقُوا لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. Those people that had iman from amongst you, iman is the catalyst for the acceptance of all good deeds. Those people that had iman from amongst you, and then they spent, only for them there is a huge reward. So, this aspect of deeds, it's very important to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has really no need for our deeds. He has no need for our a'mal, He has no need for our prayers, He has no need for our charity. And ultimately, it is not our deeds that will enter us into paradise on the Day of Judgment. It is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the verses which talk about the accumulation of deeds, the counting of deeds, the weighing of deeds, all of that, that is something that we need to understand. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us a taste of and to make us reflect upon our actions. That's basically what it is. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment going to weigh our deeds, good deeds, bad deeds, etc. It is for us to reflect on our own life and to understand that, you know, this is how I led my life. Am I deserving of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy or not? So, and this is this concept of weighing of deeds and measuring of deeds. It is something that especially the right wing of Christians criticize nowadays. They use it against the Muslims. They say, look, you're not guaranteed salvation because we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in His being the Son of God and Him dying on the cross for our sins, na'udhu billah. We are guaranteed salvation and we are absolutely 100% sure. But you guys, you have to just do these deeds and have them weighed on the Day of Judgment. No, this is basically, again, like I said, just an indication for us to show us that how we led our lives. Otherwise, if we were to compare our deeds with the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, our deeds are nothing in comparison to the blessings that Allah gave us. Okay, so if it was a tit for tat, then obviously the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala far outweigh our deeds. So our deeds are nothing in comparison to that. So we need to understand that ultimately it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will lead us into paradise and not our deeds. But that doesn't mean obviously that we stop doing deeds. Those deeds are the means through which we will get that mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that Allah says, وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Okay, you've heard all of these verses about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you know that He's doing everything. So what is wrong with you? What is your problem? Why is it that you don't have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَالرَّسُولُ يَدْعُوكُمْ لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ. The Prophet is calling you, he is inviting you so that you have iman in your Lord. Okay, so the wording is very unique here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using an idafa, possession, to put us to shame a little bit. And you probably hear it in our day-to-day talk, we use it all the time. That when a person is being rude to his father, you know, the people around him will say that, are you talking to your father like that? This is your father. Are you talking to him like that? So this, your father, doesn't the son know that he's the father? Of course he knows. But it's basically putting that child to shame, the son to shame, making him think, yes, he's my father, I shouldn't be talking to him like that. So similarly, لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ. The Prophet is calling you so that you would have iman on your Lord. He's your provider. He's your sustainer. He's giving you everything. He's providing for you. He's giving you life. He's giving you air to breathe. He's giving you water to drink, food to eat. He's your Lord. And you still don't have iman on him. You don't have any conviction in his lordship. So this, لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said, لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ, to have iman in Allah. But it doesn't give that same meaning. Okay? The Prophet is calling you so that you have iman in your Lord. وَقَدْ أَخَذَ مِيثَاقَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. And he took your promise. If you are truly believers, then this is the time to have iman in him. Okay, so he took your promise when? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, there is a mention of one ahad that took place, a promise that took place between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in alam al-arwah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to all of the souls that, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ, am I not your Lord? Everybody said, bala. Of course, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are our Lord. So that is that mithaq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took from us. Allah has taken this promise from you already. In kuntum mu'mineen, if you are believers, then this is a shart, a condition whose jaza has not been mentioned. Okay? So what it means is that if you are believers, then now is the time to show your iman. Now is the time to believe. Now is the time to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزِّلُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُمْ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Again, another quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing about himself, and again putting us to shame a little bit, that he is the one who sent upon his slave clear ayat, the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, clear ayat, the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he sent. Why? What was the purpose of sending the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with these miracles? لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. The whole purpose was to take you out from ظُلُمَات, darknesses. There are so many different types of darknesses. There are darknesses of kufr, darknesses of shirk, darknesses of bid'ah, darknesses of misguidance. Different types of darknesses. So ظُلُمَات, different types of darknesses. But only one nur, one guidance, one path, one correct thing to follow. That is only to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he sent you to take you out from those darknesses towards the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you, the ra'uf. He is ra'uf, he is gentle and merciful. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the question again. وَمَا لَكُمْ, what's wrong with you? وَمَا لَكُمْ أَلَّا تُنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. What is wrong with you that you are not spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. You're not spending. The reality is that whatever you have in your possession, whatever you have in your bank account, whatever you have in terms of all of your possessions, they are given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the mirath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the inheritance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He bestowed upon you. And when He asks you to give something back, you don't want to give anything back to Him, even though it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يَسْتَوِي مِنْكُمْ مَنْ أَنْفَقَ مِنْ قَبْلِ الْفَتْحِ وَقَاتَلُ أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً مِنَ الَّذِينَ أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ بَعْدُ وَقَاتَلُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a principle here. And that is that when anybody starts any type of project, and it's just basically a pipe dream in the beginning, it's just a vision that somebody has in the beginning, to really see that vision and to join in with that vision, it's very difficult for people. And because it's difficult to see that vision, many people find it hard to contribute. And that's exactly what happened with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet, when he came, he was alone, very few people with him, so many difficulties, so many challenges, but he was a visionary. He had the vision that ultimately we're going to get a conquest, we're going to get victory. But before getting that victory, there's going to be many hardships and difficulties and trials and tribulations. So those people that joined with the Prophet ﷺ and spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and gave in charity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is declaring about them that the people who spent in the beginning and the people who spent after the victory, they are two different things. The people who spent before, the people who spent while difficulty was going on, the people who spent right at the beginning when Islam's victory was just a vision, those are the ones that you cannot be equal to. Their sacrifice is a huge sacrifice. Like, and many scholars actually say that this ayah was revealed about Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. So Abu Bakr was the one who stood by with the Prophet ﷺ very staunchly in very difficult circumstances, and he spent a lot in charity. It's mentioned in Surah Al-Layl, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. Some scholars say that those verses are actually about Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, the one who gave, and he had the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he believed in the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. So some scholars also say that this ayah is referring to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. But this principle even applies today. If you think about it, right at the beginning when this masjid was not here, or any masjid or any institution, you know, when people start off with a vision, people find it difficult to join in. So you get a few who believe in the concept and they start and they remain steadfast and they see it through to the end. So obviously those people that made the biggest sacrifices in the beginning, they are still reaping the rewards now, right? Because they were the ones who laid the foundation for such institutions and such masajid, all right? So whenever somebody starts off a project, you know, you want to be the one who believes in that project. You should be the one who stands by that person and joins in and unites with his vision. And inshallah, when you see the project through, then you will be amongst the people who other people cannot ever catch up with. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل. Nobody can be equal from amongst you to those people who spent before the victory, وقاتل, and those who fought before the victory. أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا. They have a greater status than those people that spent afterwards and they fought afterwards. وَكُلَّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. It doesn't mean that the ones who jumped on the bandwagon afterwards, they're not going to get anything. Everybody is going to get a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no doubt about it. But the people who stepped in first, they're going to get the biggest reward. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever aware of what you are doing. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ وَلَهُ أَجْرٌ كَرِيمٌ. Who is the one who is going to give a loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So he multiplies it for him, and in addition to that, he will give him a huge reward. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word qard in the Quran, in a few places in the Quran, to denote when you take a qard from somebody, you give it, you take it with the intention of giving it back. That's why Allah uses the word qard. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need any qard from us. He doesn't need any loan from us. He is Al-Ghani, he is As-Samad. He doesn't need anything from us. So, but he uses the word qard to denote the fact that this has been taken from you and it will be given back to you, multiplied many times over. Who is the one who is going to give a loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? A good loan, you know, the word qard hasan, in this day and age, it means that you give a loan with the intention of getting it paid back. It basically means interest-free loan, right? Qard Hasan. But Qard Hasan, according to the terminology of the Quran, is actually a loan that you expect back from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after death. Alright, so the concept of Qard Hasan, basically an interest-free loan, the terminology has been used for something else other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant it for. Qard Hasan actually means, the real meaning, the real wording is referring to taking the payment back from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply it for him, and in addition to that, he will get a very generous reward, which is the reward of paradise in the hereafter. And why do you need that reward in the hereafter? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into a very moving account of what's going to happen on the Day of Judgment. It's very powerful, and you know, we need to put ourselves in this situation to understand how powerful this statement is of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسَعَ نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ. On the Day of Judgment, you're going to see the believing men and believing women. Their nur is going to rush in front of them and to their sides. So believers, they're going to have a type of nur. On the Day of Judgment, everything's going to be pitch black. And the believers, they're going to have a nur with them. They're going to have a light with them. And with this light, they're going to be able to cross over the bridge. Otherwise, pitch black, you cannot see anything. So this light Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to the people of Iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them, بُشْرَاكُمُ الْيَوْمَ جَنَّةٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. Glad tidings for you today are the gardens of paradise. Underneath, there are rivers flowing underneath these gardens. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. They will stay inside them forever and ever. This is the greatest success. Now these are the believers. They have this nur that they will have, that will guide them, and they will be able to cross into paradise with the blessing of this nur. But what about the munafiqeen? What about the disbelievers? They have nothing, because they didn't do any, they didn't have iman, so their a'mal not going to be accepted. Because their a'mal not accepted, they don't have any nur with them. They are in pitch darkness. So what do they do? You know, when a person, he's driving his car, and his headlights are not working, what does he do? He latches on to somebody else whose headlights are working and tries to see using the person's in front, his headlights. All right? He tailgates and uses the light produced by that person's lights. Okay? So this is what these munafiqeen are going to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them. يَوْمَ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتُ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنظُرُونَا نَقْتَبِسْ مِنْ نُورِكُمْ. On the day the munafiq, the hypocrite, men and women, they will say to the people of Iman, wait for us. نَقْتَبِسْ مِنْ نُورِكُمْ. We want to take some of your light. It will be told to them, اِرْجِعُوا قِيلَ ارْجِعُوا وَرَاءَكُمْ فَالْتَمِسُوا نُورًا. Go back and seek your nur from where you're supposed to get it. So there's two or three meanings of this. That either they are physically going to be told, go back from here. Don't stand by the believers. Go back a little bit and you'll get the nur from back there somewhere. And they will physically move back, and then a punishment will be, a wall will be placed between them and the believers. That's one meaning. Another meaning is that they're going to be told this as what we call tawbih in Arabic, as a form of ridicule. That they're going to be told this, that what you're supposed to have done was, in the worldly life, you're supposed to have earned your nur. So go back if you can to the worldly life. Go back to your life and see if you can bring back the nur now. Obviously they can't do it. So they're as a form of ridicule, they're going to be told, irji'u wara'akum faltamisu nura. Go back and seek nur from where you're supposed to have got it. Then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَضُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ لَهُ بَابٍ. Between the munafiqeen and the believers, a wall is going to be put up, which has a door inside it. Okay, so the believers on one side, the munafiqeen on the other side. What the believers see on their side is rahmah, paradise, reward. But the munafiqeen on their side, they cannot get close to this wall because this wall has fire and punishment and everything in front of it. So Allah says, فَضُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ لَهُ بَابٍ. A wall is going to be put up between them, which has a door. بَاطِنُهُ فِيهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. On the inside, on the hidden side, there's going to be mercy, meaning on the inside of the side of the believers, there's going to be mercy. And وَظَاهِرُهُ مِنْ قِبَلِهِ الْعَذَابِ. On the apparent side, on the front side, there's going to be a punishment which will prevent the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, from getting through. And the next verses are so heartrending. يُنَادُونَهُمْ. These munafiqeen are going to call out, أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعْكُمْ. Didn't we used to be with you? Didn't we used to pray with you? Didn't we used to stand with you in your safs? Didn't we used to give also in charity? Didn't we used to do good deeds? Didn't we used to have Muslim names? يُنَادُونَهُمْ أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعْكُمْ. The response will be, بَلَى. Yes, you were. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. But you put yourself to trial. Meaning, by having kufr inside you and not having iman, true iman, you put yourself to trial, you put yourself to punishment. وَتَرَبَّسْتُمْ. And you waited. You waited, meaning you waited for something, some kind of miracle to come to you to make you believe, but that miracle was not coming. You wanted something special to come, you continue to wait, and it's not coming. وَرْتَبْتُمْ. You continue to be in doubt. وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِيُّ. And aspirations and desires basically fooled you. وَغَرَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. And the real trickster, the shaitan, he fooled you into not believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the things that happen with the munafiqeen. The munafiqeen, they claim that we were with the believers. We did everything with the believers. But inside, everything was hollow. Nothing, there was no iman inside, only kufr and shirk inside, and doubts, thinking about worldly aspirations, worldly desires, not thinking about the hereafter. That is the kind of lifestyle they had, and the shaitan continued to fool them into believing that they're doing the right thing. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَالْيَوْمَ لَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْكُمْ فِدْيَةٌ وَلَا مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Today, no fidya, no ransom is going to be taken from you. Okay, so there's a riwayat which suggests that even if the world was multiplied 10 times and the person was in possession of this whole world which is 10 times bigger than this world with all of its riches and wealth and everything, and they tried to give that as fidya to save themselves from the hereafter, from the punishment of the hereafter, it will not be taken from them. It will not be accepted from them. وَلَا مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Neither from you, O munafiqeen, O hypocrites, and also not from the disbelievers. مَأْوَاكُمُ النَّارِ. Your abode is the hellfire. هِيَ مَوْلَاكُمْ. It is going to be your refuge. It is going to be the place where you end up. وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرِ. And such a bad abode it is. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard, and gives us tawfiq to have true and proper iman and stay away from all forms of nifaq and hypocrisy, so that we are not included amongst the munafiqeen that have been mentioned here. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه والغفور الرحيم.
صلاتي ما أخليها هي حياتي دنيتي فيها إلا صلاتي.